we talk about faith in the age of AI, looking for some AI humor yesterday. And so what I have here is AI promised to make life easier, and now we spend 45 minutes crafting the perfect prompt to avoid a task that would have taken 10 minutes. For those computer people, you probably understand that better than I do. The first time AI got something wrong, I felt a deep sense of relief, say, thinking that we're not so different after all. And what is an AI drummer's favorite beat? An algorithm. And what do you call a pirate chatbot? Artificial intelligence. Okay, that's my best try at AI humor. And so when you think about the faith in the presence of AI, first question that I think we should deal with today is, where did AI come from? For those of us like myself that are pretty computer illiterate, again, how did this all come about in terms of what we hear that that's happening in our world today? And so first it had to do with just improved computer hardware, improvements in computer hardware. Again, just the facts in terms of just what would be presented to us in the context of this. Basically, in the early 1960s, the first transistorized computer, an IBM 790 mainframe, had 50,000 transistors, cost $3 million, and filled three stories of an engineering building. And so again, that's in the 1960s. An Apple laptop in 2023 cost $1,000 and had 67 trillion transistors. Supercomputers since 2016 include over 12 quadrillion transistors. So again, just what happens in terms of the speed and efficiency of what happens as you continue to run processes and programs through these things, in terms of what it can learn, what it can know, in terms of all the things that it would get engage in. Again, this leads to quicker and more numerous processes completed and more code that could be written into computer programs. That's an important thing. Just what can a computer handle in terms of what a programmer would put into a program. So again, improvements in computer hardware. The other thing where AI came from is the next slide, where we have better computer programming. I mean, basically, the early and first computer programs were bug intolerant. In other words, if you wrote a program and there was a problem in it, something you missed, you had to scrap the whole thing. You had to start from square one and rewrite the program. But now, larger and more complex computer programs can learn through correcting their own mistakes as redundancies are put into the program. You know, as computer programs saw the bugs that were in the initial programs in terms of how you would then put something else in the code that would go backwards and then address that mistake and then be able to fix it effectively in terms of how the computer would operate. And again, I'm above my pay grade when it comes to this, but again, just sharing what I, as a pastor, and understand about this and, you know, videos that I watched. There was also been algorithmic breakthroughs with multi-layer neural networks modeled after how the human brain works and the invention of training methods to recognize patterns in data. So again, this was a big aspect of what all, even why we call it artificial intelligence, because they looked at the brain and how the different synapses and the different things happen in terms of how we're connected in our brain, and then taking these supercomputers and aligning them in the same way in terms of what they would effectively learn by just continually running through data, running through information, looking for patterns, looking for redundancies in terms of what is in the data to basically present us with information or accomplish certain tasks that we would ask AI to perform. So again, better hardware, better computer programming, and then it just comes to big data, just all the data that is available. The rapid expansion of the internet and digital platforms created petabytes of text, image, and video content that served as essential training materials for machine learning models. So again, you think about all the information that was put on a computer in the internet, and the way that computer was broken down in terms of how it was presented is that now a computer can basically access that information that's all over the world in terms of what it would then understand and know about language, about thought, about principles, about just information that is there, and the ability to process that information at amazing speeds, that it kind of, it seems intelligent, it seems smart. Like, in other words, computers, AI, don't have emotion. But ultimately, when you give it all the data that is out there where human emotion is expressed in language, and that language is put in a way that the computer can recognize patterns and different things in terms of how things are expressed, and now all of a sudden they can bring it all together. Again, you put something in ChatGPT and say, give me information about this. And again, just think in seconds, it accesses all this information that's around the world and brings it to you. And then when you say, oh, that doesn't quite fit. So what it learns from that is, okay, that's not right in this circumstance. So now let me access other information and see if that works. Now again, if that doesn't work, now it learns again that that didn't, but again, it's not like thinking, it's not reasoning, it's just going through different aspects of just gathering information and just spitting out and see if it works. And so we just think about all the things that are available that, again, it can talk about feelings, like what was one thing where an AI system was presented with the knowledge of someone just took 16,000 milligrams of Tylenol, and it was almost like the AI had a shocking response to it, like almost an emotional response of fear. But that's because basically what it knows in terms of the information that's on the internet is that's a lethal dose of Tylenol. Don't do that. But in terms of just what it would respond to, in terms of how it would learn from what humans have said and what humans have inputted. You know, and one thing that I also heard in the context of this is that they actually have, like when you think about dissertations and different educational information that is out there in terms of papers. Basically, they have not made those things available to AI because they're afraid that AI might be distracted by that and start going into places where they would find information where now the common person wouldn't understand. And so even when you think about that dynamic of a scientific paper is not available to AI because it might do the wrong thing with it in terms of, because it can, it's mindless. It's just processing information, but it seems smart because of all that it is exposed to. And so again, where did AI come from? Again, those different aspects of, again, where we are right now. I mean, issues with AI, I mean, it's coming and it's coming fast. Again, it will be the thing that will define our lives, define our world, in some ways, whether we like it or not, whether it's good or bad or how we're affected, it is coming down the pike. Billions of dollars are being invested to see how this new technology can be used to improve the human condition. And it's not really quick. People are not really to see how it might hurt us. You know, and again, there's no thought of, is this right? Is this true? Is this good in terms of what we're doing here? And when you think about how countries are and how companies are in terms of competition, it's never a consideration of, is this a right thing to do? But rather, is this going to get us ahead? Like, are we going to have this before someone else has it? You know, even think about the whole idea of nuclear bombs. Like, was it right for us to develop a nuclear bomb? Well, we didn't think about that really. We just thought if China develops a nuclear bomb, we're in trouble. So let's develop a nuclear bomb. And so therefore, again, it's that type of competition that leads to us to a place that, hey, let's do this. And we're not even thinking about, is this right or wrong or how are people going to be impacted by it? But because they might get it before we do it and then they might get ahead or they might earn more money or whatever. Again, it is that human tendency in terms of just how we interact with things in our own production and our own efficiency, or again, how we're better than others, and whether that would be economically, in terms of financially, or what we would be in security, or a country's demise, or whatever. You know, as I said last week, one of my favorite things that I heard was, it's not that we have to be afraid of the technology, but we have to be afraid of the humans. in terms of what humans are going to do with the technology that is in AI. And so, again, I think another thing, you know, issues with it is just this displacing human labor. You know, in terms of just what jobs will not be there in the future because AI will just do it, that it will just perform those things. Now, there is always an aspect of how people respond to technology, and oftentimes, and what has happened usually in terms of the world, is that when a technology comes in and now it displaces human beings, oftentimes those human beings find other things to do. And maybe if you could say they find an opportunity to do other things. I mean, does anyone remember actually going in an elevator and having an elevator operator? Like, I don't know how old you have to be to remember an elevator operator. Well, guess what? There are no more elevator operators anymore. And so again, when that technology where it could be self-serve in the elevator in terms of just pressing a button, and we all know how to do that, again, that was an advancement of technology that displaced all the elevator workers. Well, all those elevator workers found other jobs, and hopefully found better jobs, or they got an education in terms of how they grew, and so on and so forth. But in terms of ourselves, and I even think when we recognize who, you know, our God, he cares about our spiritual nature, he cares about our hearts and our thoughts. He also cares about our lives in terms of blessing our productivity and guiding us in the ways that we would do things that would supply for us and provide for us. So in wisdom, if you're a 20-something, if you're a teen-something, you should probably do something that is commensurate with AI and supports AI, as opposed to doing a job that more likely than not is rote in nature and repetitive in nature that AI could take over. You know, like the other aspect of this, and when you think about AI, is that if you think about AI doing things that people don't want to do, or there is a labor shortage. Like if you could ever imagine, again, a robot being made to take care of someone, again, that would be miles and miles apart from a human being taking care of someone. But if no one's taking care of something and an AI agent is doing something in the context of that, well then, you know, so be it in terms of the benefit that would come. You know, I'm not sure if you have seen on the internet or the commercials that you would see on TV or whatever, an AI puppy, an AI dog. And so here, like you think about, well, and maybe this is good for another point, but I'll bring it up here anyways. So you buy this dog and it barks like a dog, it snuggles like a dog. You know, all the problems that we would have with a dog where, like, don't bark, stop barking, like, you don't mess on the floor, I don't need to house train you. You know, so now for someone that doesn't have a dog, fine, you know, okay, if that's helping you in your life, but don't think it's the same as a dog. Well, like don't think that flesh and blood isn't something that you've been made for. Like, you are flesh and blood, and you are intended to engage with flesh and blood. And I think something that we need to be aware of in terms of AI is anytime our needs are being fulfilled by something that is more digital in nature, when God would desire for us to be fulfilled in terms of physical space and physical people. Again, another concern about land and power. But the point I was making in that, if you can't get a dog, though, you can't manage a dog, and that helps you, okay, fine. But just watch. Like, many of our choices are not just simple in nature. Like, in other words, I'm going to say this thing. I'm going to do this thing. Like, how are other people affected by that? I say this thing, I say it in this way, I do this thing. You know, if you're brushing your teeth, that's not going to change the world. I'm not saying every action, but a lot of actions that we take, again, the way I communicate my plans or the way I ask a question to someone else, we always have to think about the implications of things. So again, when you're deciding about how you might engage with the AI, think about Like, what would God think about this? Like, am I trying to fulfill something that should be fulfilled someplace else, but I'm escaping the mess that often happens in the human realm? Or again, like, I just think about that dog where, okay, the dog, again, acts like a dog, but again, you don't have to feed it. You don't have to give it water. It doesn't mess on the floor. Like, but some of those messy things are what God intends in terms of what we would have in domesticated animals. And but again, you hopefully get the point why I would bring that up in the context of that. But, you know, another issue with AI is land and power use. Again, you talk about these supercomputers. They take a lot of power. They cost a lot of money in terms of what people invest in. You know, when I think about, you know, the world applauding, you know, the, like, I think in some level, you know, this is man's attempt to kind of be like God. You know, we can, this is our Tower of Babel. You know, we can make intelligence. But what you pay to build AI that does a very simple thing in terms of what mankind can do, and we've spent millions of dollars, we used all this energy, and it solved this computer program or this math problem, or again, we chat, like really? Well, a human being could have done that better and faster, maybe not faster, maybe not more efficiently, again, in terms of the information that we could engage in, but again, it costs a lot of money to make that happen. And you need a lot of buildings to do that. Another concern that comes up with AI that might be beyond us in terms of just monopoly control. Like, when people have this technology, when they have the money to operate this technology, own this technology, and again, they see what benefits are going to, there's going to be a tendency for them to monopolize that. Like, no, I'm not going to give it to someone else. No, I'm not going to share, you know, the invention that I've had or the improvement that I've done in terms of this thing. And so we do have to think even, like, governmentally in terms of, like what we're encouraging politicians to do or encouraging. I would definitely say that this has to be something where justice is promoted, where freedom is promoted in the context of people not gaining control over something that could be so so destructive in terms of what it can do. And so now faith in the age of AI, I mean, as the world increases the dependence on AI, we need to recognize what it is. First, it is artificial intelligence. It is only as good as the input that is given. It is associative learning, data mining and learning technique that finds important relationships between variables or data sets, but AI cannot come up with its own variables. It can't come up with its own data. So, you know, there was a Japanese study that was done in terms of having AI, they were trying to make circuit boards for computers. And so they had AI do it out by their own. They had a senior engineer do it on their own, and then they had junior engineers do it on their own. And so basically, the AI did a bad job in terms of what it produced. The junior engineers did a better job in terms of the AI, and the senior engineer did the best. So now what they said was, okay, how if we combine them? In terms of the senior engineer working with AI or the junior engineers working with the AI, and the best success came from the humans, the senior engineer, informing the AI what the AI was going to be tasked to do. So in other words, with all the information that AI could search out in terms of the world, the senior AI, giving it the data set, giving it the variables, that AI, now look here. And so basically, you know, what that showed is that oftentimes when we're talking about AI, because of the fact that it really has no capacity to act on its own, humans can direct it in terms of, again, what would you do more efficiently? Again, if you can read books faster than I can and get information and glean it, okay, we'll do that. But in terms of figuring out how we're going to use that book or how I'm going to apply it to this situation, again, that is what human beings need to do. In terms of the next point, in some ways, again, this whole idea is morally neutral, like no so much other technology, but it's more dangerous because of what it purports and is able to be, I mean, we should cautiously engage. You know, just realize that if AI is presented with bad things, it's going to produce bad things. You know, another thing I've read, or not read, but watched in terms of a study that was done, is that they gave AI a task and then allowed it to cheat and basically rewarded the fact that it was cheating. And so basically what happened is that the AI then continued to cheat, and then as it was doing the work that it was doing, it was getting darker and darker in terms of the information that it was presenting, the results it was finding, in terms of what it would then go to. And so again, what Satan means for evil, God means for good, you know, what this can mean in terms of the good that is produced in our world, but we just know the nature of human beings in terms of then what it would then produce in and around us in terms of our environment. You know, again, we have to be cautious of just how it's being used. It's a very powerful thing, a very useful thing in terms of, again, the efficiency of it. You know, when I think about what Google searches were even 4 or 5 years ago compared to today in terms of the wealth of information, the accuracy of the information, the subtlety of questions you can ask Google in terms of, like, that has certainly increased, and so that's a good thing, but we have to be careful in terms of, again, then what does it produce in our world by what it does, again, and what it purports and what it's able to do. So what does faith in the age of IA does? I think in the first thing that this does and what faith reinforces, it's the wonder, beauty, and complexity of being a human being. Again, as the world says, look at us. We're making something that looks human. It looks intelligent. Look how it learns. But it's just processing data. It's just looking at various tendencies. It doesn't have a conscience. It doesn't have emotion. It's not thinking about how other people are going to be impacted by it. You know, you think about Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator, right? What is he thinking? I need to kill Sarah Connor. You know the movie, right? I'm like, please don't tell me you don't know. I'll be back. But he doesn't care about anything. There's no conscience in him. I just have a goal and I'm getting there. I don't care who I kill in the process. That is what AI is like. Again, now it can be informed by, you know, other opinion that it's where that's wrong or righteousness or godliness or whatever. But we just have to recognize that, like, what we are able to do in our humanness, where we adapt, where we consider, where we reflect, like even thinking about what human consciousness is like. Like, why do you know that you're you? Why do you know that you're you and other people are other people? Like, as much as AI can accomplish in performance and activity and intelligence, it will never get to a point where there's self-awareness, because that is a God image thing. That is spiritual in nature. And that is something that is beautiful and wonderful about each one of us in terms of what God has created us to be in terms of an awareness of self, awareness of other people, the ability to adapt to different situations where this is the right answer here with this situation, but now this is the right answer over here. And our ability to do that is just, again, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That is what Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says. And so, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And then right to Psalm 8 in terms of just what it reinforces and When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all rocks and herds and the animals of the field, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and the swim that passes the sea. You could also put AI. It's over AI. Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Again, when you think about, like, if God wanted to make you like an AI robot, he could have, right? If all he wanted you to be is an information gathering thing, a technical processing in terms of data, and just spitting things out without concern about, again, how am I affected? How other people, like, if there's something above me in terms of, you know, what I would rely on beyond just the information I'm sharing, he could have done that. But he didn't. And the complexity of, in all our brokenness, and all that we get wrong, and all the mistakes that we make, God wanted it that way. Like, he wanted my brokenness to interact with your brokenness, and then we figure out together in terms of relationship how we become a little less broken. You know, how we fail, and how we sin, and how we do things, and yet you're the same in the same, but we change. We become more sanctified in terms of our engagement and interaction with each other. And those interactions inform us. Those interactions inspire us. Like, we always have to remember that people are more important than ability, performance, and accomplishment. You are not what you do. You are not the education you have. You are not about the things you possess. You are not about whatever you would define. You are a human being marked by the image of God, beautiful in his sight, the apple of his eye, loved and cared for by the God of the universe who has tremendous purpose for you, tremendous potential in terms of what he wants to accomplish through you. Like, the grace that he has in all our brokenness to say, I'm with you, I'm for you, let's go, let's work, let's grow. But again, you are more important than what you do. I think God, Faith, Church has never been more important. Like, one person that was giving a, what do you call those addresses that happened at the beginning of a conference? No. At the beginning of a conference. The keynote speech guy was saying, like, what AI shows us is we have to be more human. Like we just have to embrace all that God intended for us to be and recognize all that God desires in terms of our interaction, our awareness of the spiritual, an awareness of the glory, awareness of something that is beyond us. Again, that we are not defined by, oh, we just need to do it efficiently. We just need to get it back. You know, Joe Friday, just the facts, please. No, it's never just the facts. It's always about how people think about the facts and what their opinion about the facts, what their expectations are up with the facts, how they're going to work. It always goes beyond that. But for God, faith, church to reinforce that, again, like to know that as we engage together as believers in Jesus Christ and that faith is reinforced, like that awareness is reinforced, that again, what makes you important? What do you trust in? Who are you in terms of what you would think about yourself? So again, more like just, well, maybe the next point does it better. Like the thing, don't shirk responsibility. Realize that you learn better when you process and struggle with things as opposed to have something handed to you. You know, they did studies on people's brains when they learned something from ChatGPT, and they just wrote it down in terms of just, like, if you think in terms of doing an assignment, just wrote it down, and nothing's happening in their brain. Like, their brain is dark in terms of how the brain is being engaged. But now you have that person read the book, do the study, do the rigors of looking up things and so on, and that's where now the brain is activated. It's alive. Like, do the math. Put the calculator away. Your brain is helped by that. I'm convinced if you're having a brain problem, do things that challenge your brain. Like, again, do the math. Figure out, do some long division on paper. You know, better math than that. Do the calculus. Do a regression. You know, what do things, because you will be benefited by that. Again, rather than talking to someone that doesn't, that isn't a person, like talking to someone that is a person. Like to read someone's countenance. You know how incredible it is that you can read someone's countenance? Like you can get a subtlety in what they have in their face that causes you to think, oh, I know how you just reacted to that. I can have a sense how you're thinking. Like AI doesn't have the ability to do that. But for us to do that and grow in that in the context of our interaction with people, again, have the conversation, make the call, do the math, write the essay, read the book. Because again, you will be better. Like we have a group of young people that are being raised that are more informed and less smart. Just realize that. The digital age, what it has done, what COVID did, what the digital, you know, looking at, you know, the internet and just engaging with things digitally rather than interacting with people. Yeah, they know a lot, but as far as critical thinking, as far as truly processing something that shows intelligence, like I can spit out the information, but did you learn it? Again, did you do the math that brought the results? And again, that's where we have to be careful. And to me, it points to this is what God intended. This is how God wants it to be. And again, the Bible, church, Christian people are the ones going to be reinforcing that. I think there's an aspect of the glory of God. There's an aspect of the gospel in this as people go down this road to try and glean something that is about man, is about physical things, and they see it's empty, that it leaves them empty. And God is the one that fills. The next and final slide, with only a couple of points, there is a greater need for discernment. It will be increasingly difficult to see what is true and false, good and bad. There will be an increased ability for you to be confronted by more things as well. I think I get 3 phone calls a day offering for me or as a business owner to borrow money. Like that is not a person sitting at a phone saying, I don't even know what they've seen, but they say they've seen my whatever, and so therefore a tax, like I'm default on my taxes. Like, again, the ability to do that is just expanded in terms of what AI allows. You know, the things you watch, an algorithm that watches what you watch and then targets you for what you watch. Like, again, the more you watch things, the more you'll be targeted to watch things. And watch out for being mad, sad, afraid, or buy things. I think that is the goal of what the world is trying to encourage in us. Either you're listening to things and watching things to just deepen you in what you think about politics or people or opinion or whatever, and you just get more and more mad. Or it overwhelms you in terms of just, maybe sad and afraid can be the same. Like crying. Like, have you noticed when you open up, and you open up a page and there's all these people dying, information of people dying, people having house invaded, some people having their car jacked, or you know whatever it might be, and you think, well, this is what's going to happen to me. When, you know, maybe it happened 5 years ago and they're bringing it up, or maybe it happened over there, or maybe these things have always happened and you just haven't been aware of it. And so therefore, to the extent that we should always be wise and safe, but we don't have to be afraid. But again, when you're exposed to these things, there's also a sadness to that. So watch out in terms of what you're engaging with, because godliness, truth, the Bible, again, that doesn't make us mad. It doesn't make us sad. It doesn't make us afraid. It builds us up and encourages us. And just watch out. They always want you to buy things. There's always money behind the motive in terms of what they're promoting. I think there's a greater need for purity. You know, in terms of just what you're able to do in AI that, again, is counter what is in humanness and therefore what is able to happen in defilement and sin, what we need to do in terms of purity to say, no, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to think that. In terms of the, again, when something is able to produce something that is good or produce something that is evil, there are so those that are going to be thinking in terms of producing things that are evil. And so therefore, producing something that doesn't have a conscience, doesn't have an idea of what purity is, and then now, all of a sudden, you know, what it's encouraging us to think or is encouraging us to do, again, a greater need for purity. We have to recognize that God is bigger than it. We'll read Psalm 46 again. Well, for those of you who are at the beginning, it's a second run through it. God is our refuge and strength and ever present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heat. Or again, the world is being consumed with AI, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Again, here's the key. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Keep that up. Keep 10 up, please, Kelly. So again, be still and know that I'm God. I believe this is the banner that holds, waves over every period of human history. Whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever circumstance you're in the world, be still and know that I'm God. Like, what does still mean? Still means I'm at peace. I'm not worried. I'm not stressed. Like, I'm trusting you, God. Like, you are bigger than this. You are over this. You have foreseen this. You have a plan for this. He has a plan for what evil comes from it. He has a plan for what good comes from it. And God will manage. Like, we have to be responsible believers, responsible citizens, responsible employers or employees, but realize that God is above this. And the last point, which you're not gonna want me to go short on this, but I can. And this could be an aspect of how the end comes. I believe it is part of our world. It will always be part of our world. And so therefore, we know that the next step that happens in our world is the Antichrist is revealed. And so therefore, this is an actual person that rules the whole world. So can you imagine how AI would help someone rule the whole world? I do. In terms of how he can disseminate information, how he can be aware of what's going on. I mean, just a bit, you know, like basically, you know, this person giving a talk talked about China and talked about how he's a scientist working with other scientists in China, and he's concerned about, the Chinese man was concerned that I haven't got enough steps in. Like, the government is going to know that I haven't got enough steps in, so when I apply for that apartment, I'm not going to get it if I don't get my steps in. So therefore, there's this awareness of what's going on in individual lives, and again, what helps that happen is AI. So again, it's about awareness, but it can be about control. And again, that's what the end is going to look like in terms of what the Antichrist fosters. So, but God is still in control of that. Like, because we know from Scripture that's going to happen, we should not be surprised when different things happen in the world that will make that more possible. And so again, I believe when Jesus says, look for the signs, look for the times, like, you know when the weather's changing, it's going to rain. Again, don't try to predict dates and times, but be aware of the tenor and tone of things. And I think AI is one of those. But again, we engage with it, We embrace what is good, we defend against what is bad, and we just trust God for every aspect of how our lives might be affected, you know, by what is coming on in technology. Amen? Let's bow and let's pray. And so, Father, we just do again thank you for the trust we can have in you as we are overwhelmed or confused by a dynamic happening in our world. Father, we thank you for the prevailing nature of your gospel, the truth that Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross, to pay for all our sins and all of the things that we have done wrong, and thereby having you forgive us for those sins, to be raised in power to show that he offers us that forgiveness and offers us that life, but asks us to believe in him. I pray for anyone here that has not believed on Jesus Christ, that ultimately they would see the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of what was being accomplished at the cross, for Jesus dying for us so that we can be saved. And the only thing I can do to connect myself to the work that Jesus did 2,000 years ago is believe. Believe that it's true, to believe that it's effective, to believe that I need it. I pray for anyone here that is not affirmed in their heart that I believe that Jesus died and died for my sin, that it's effective to make me right with God, and that I need it. Outside of that, I have no relationship with God. I have no future with him. And so, Father, I pray for anyone here that hasn't taken that step that they would believe in Jesus. But, Father, we just lift ourselves all before you in terms of just trusting you for every aspect of our lives, regardless of what we see coming down the pike. And so we lift it all before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Stronger.
So guilty, so guilty.